Title: Respace Fundamentals for Modern Control with Vintage Tone Intermediate. All right, let's build a proper drum and bass res in Ableton Live, but with two goals that usually fight each other: modern control and vintage tone. When people say res, they usually mean that wide, detuned, slightly angry bass that feels like it's alive. The problem is, if you just make it huge and wide, it collapses in mono, it fights your kick, and the low end turns to soup. So the move is to split the job into layers. One layer does stability and weight, and another layer does character and motion. Then we glue them together like one instrument. By the end, you'll have a clean mono sub, a mid-focused res with that chorus-like smear, and a bass boss that feels mix-ready. And we'll set it up so you can automate it across long arrangements without constantly redesigning the sound. Step 0. Set up the session like you mean it. Set your tempo to a DNB-friendly range, 172 to 176. I'll sit at 174. Now make three tracks, one called Bass SUB, one called Bass Res, and then group those two into a group called Bass Bus. On the Bass Bus, drop a utility. If your version of Live has bass mono, enable it. If not, don't panic, we'll enforce mono where it matters on the sub layer anyway. The point is, we're making mix discipline part of the sound design, not something you remember later. Before we touch any synths, here's a key idea that'll save you headaches. Decide your crossover frequency early. That's the line between sub and res. Most of the time in DNB, that's somewhere around 80 to 120 Hz. Pick a spot and stick to it, because every decision you make will support that line. The res gets high passed above it, the sub stays mono below it, and you avoid width effects down there. Cool. Let's build the sub first. Go to Bass SUB and load operator. Oscillator A. Set it to a sine wave. Keep the level reasonable. You want headroom. DNB bass gets loud fast, and we're going to add saturation later, which adds more energy. Now, pure sine is great, but it can disappear on small speakers, so we're going to add just a tiny bit of harmonic help without ruining the fundamental. Turn on oscillator B. Set it to a sine, or triangle if you want to touch more upper content. Tune it up one octave, then pull its level way down. A good starting point is about minus 24 dB relative to osc A. You shouldn't really hear osc B as a separate tone. You should just notice that the sub translates better when you turn it on. Now set the amp envelope. For classic DNB sustain, keep the attack fast, like half a millisecond up to maybe 5 milliseconds. Just enough to avoid clicks. Decay around 200 to 400 milliseconds. Sustain anywhere from minus 6 to minus 12 dB depending on how constant you want the weight. Release around 80 to 150 milliseconds, again to prevent clicks and to stop it feeling chopped off. Now process the sub with a simple, bulletproof chain. First, EQ 8. Don't high pass your sub. That's a common beginner mistake. If it's too boomy, do a gentle dip around 60 to 80 Hz, like 2 dB with a Q around 1, but only if it actually needs it. Don't EQ out the whole point of the layer. Next, add a saturator. Use soft sine or analog clip. Keep it subtle, 1 to 3 dB of drive. Then do the important part, level match it. After you add drive, adjust output so it's not just louder. You want to judge tone, not loudness. This one habit will instantly improve your decisions. Finally, add utility. Set width to 0%, hard mono. This is your anchor. At this point you should have a sub that feels stable, solid, and readable even at lower volumes. Now we build the res layer where the personality lives. Go to bass res and load wave editable. Oscillator 1. Pick basic shapes and choose a saw wave. Oscillator 2. Also basic shapes and choose either square or another saw. Saw plus square is a classic combo because it gives you a slightly different harmonic profile per oscillator, which helps the movement feel richer. Now detune. You have two main options. Option 1. Use unison. Set unison voices to 2 to 4. Start at 2, because too much unison is one of the fastest ways to make a res that sounds sick solo and turns to mush in a full mix. Then set detune amount around 10 to 25%. Option 2. Keep unison low and detune osc 2 manually by about plus 7 to plus 15 cents. That's a really controllable, old-school type of spread. Now add subtle analog instability. This is where the vintage part starts happening. Add an LFO to pitch, either global or per oscillator. Set the rate very slow, 0.10 to 0.30 Hz. That's like a gentle drift, not a wobble. Keep the amount tiny. If you can obviously hear the pitch moving, it's too much. The goal is barely alive, like a warm synth that won't sit perfectly still. Now filtering. This is both vibe and control. Use a low-pass filter, LP24 will feel smoother and heavier. LP12 will keep a bit more bite in the mids. Set cutoff somewhere like 200 to 600 Hz as a starting range, depending on where you're separating it from the sub and how dark you want the bass. Add some filter drive, maybe 2 to 6 dB. And if you want movement, use a little envelope amount so the filter opens slightly with the note. Now we process the reese with a chain that gives it that classic smeared movement, but stays mix safe. First, EQ 8 for pre-saturation shaping. This part is crucial. High pass the reese at about 90 to 120 Hz with a steep slope, like 24 dB per octave. This is you enforcing the crossover. Sub is the sub track's job. Reese is not allowed to carry the low end. If the reese feels boxy, do a small dip around 250 to 400 Hz. Keep it gentle. And remember, the reese's character usually lives between about 150 Hz and 1.5 kHz. That's the growl zone in a busy DNB mix. If you're overinvesting in super low sub content or super high fizz above 3 to 5K, it'll either get messy or disappear. Next, add saturator. Analog clip is a great DNB mid texture. Push it harder here, 4 to 10 dB of drive. Monitor your level. And again, level match output so you're choosing the best tone, not the loudest one. Now for the vintage secret sauce. Chorus ensemble. Set it to chorus mode. Rate around 0.20 to 0.60 Hz. Depth or amount around 20 to 40%. Mix around 15 to 35%. Since we already high passed the reese, the chorus won't mess up the sub, and that's exactly why we did the crossover discipline earlier. Then add an auto filter after that, mainly as an automation tool. Use LP12 for a slightly smoother musical sweep. Keep envelope low to medium. We're going to map this cutoff to a macro later so you can perform the bass line across sections. Finally, utility. Set width for around 120 to 160%. Exciting, but not ridiculous. Remember, wide bass is fun until a club sums your track to mono and half your bass vanishes. Now, quick coach move. Do a mono check while you design, not after. On the bass bus utility, map a macro to width. Then toggle between full width and mono while you tweak to tune and chorus. If the bass loses too much energy in mono, reduce unison, reduce chorus mix, or reduce width. The goal is not identical in mono. The goal is still powerful. All right, now let's glue it together on the bass bus. First, EQ 8. Keep it gentle. If you find yourself doing big corrective moves on the bus, go back and fix the layer that's causing the issue. Bus EQ is for tiny nudges and cleanup, not surgery. Then add glue compressor. Attack around 10 milliseconds. Release on auto, or somewhere like 0.1 to 0.3 seconds. Ratio 2 to 1. You're aiming for 1 to 3 dB of gain reduction on peaks. This is glue, not smash. Add a tiny saturator next. 1 or 2 dB of drive, just to make it feel like it's coming from one place, like a recorded instrument instead of two separate synth tracks. Then a limiter as safety, not loudness. Ceiling at minus 0.5 dB. It should only catch occasional spikes. Optional, but extremely common in DNB, sidechain the entire bass bus to the kick. Use a compressor on the bus, enable sidechain. Choose the kick track, ratio around 4 to 1. Attack 1 to 3 milliseconds. Release 50 to 120 milliseconds. Aim for 2 to 5 dB of ducking depending on how tight or pumpy you want it. Now we get into the part people forget. A reese isn't just a sound, it's a rhythm instrument. Make a 2-bar MIDI loop at 174 BPM. Keep your notes mostly between F1 and A1 as a starting zone for weight. Adjust to your key, obviously, but that range tends to hit the sweet spot. Write a pattern that mixes sustained notes and short push notes. A classic rolling idea is, bar 1 has a long root note, then a short pickup right before the snare, then back to a long note. Bar 2 repeats the idea but introduces a small pitch variation, like the fifth or the octave, to avoid that copy-paste loop feeling. And if you want it to feel more human, use groove pull lightly. MPC-style swing at 5 to 15% is plenty. The NB bass can swing, but if you overdo it, the bass starts feeling late and the whole roller loses its forward motion. Now for modern control, macros. On the reese track, group your effects into an audio effect rack and create a few macros. Macro 1. Reese low pass cutoff. Map it to the auto filter cutoff. Macro 2. Movement, map it to chorus mix, and if you want, a tiny increase in the LFO amount as well. Macro 3. Growl, map it to saturator drive and maybe filter drive. Macro 4. Width. Map it to utility width. Macro 5, optional, bite, Map it to a small EQ boost somewhere around 900 Hz to 2 kHz. Keep it subtle. This is for moments where the Reese needs to poke through busy drums. Now you can automate the bass like a performer across 16, 32, or 64 bars. For an intro, keep cutoff lower and movement lower, so it feels mysterious and controlled. For the drop, open cutoff and add more drive. Mid-drop, pull cutoff down a little but increase movement to create tension without just getting louder. And for fills, try a quick trick, narrow the width for half a bar, then snap it wide on the downbeat. That contrast makes the drop hit harder without adding any new sounds. Let's cover common mistakes so you don't lose time. Number 1. Letting the Reese have sub-energy. If the Reese isn't high-passed, your low end will phase, your mono will collapse, and your kick will never sit right. High-pass the Reese around 90 to 120 Hz, sometimes even higher depending on the track. Number 2. Too much detune or unison. Start small. Add more only if it still holds together with drums. Number 3. Overwidening. Keep sub-mono. Keep the Reese width tasteful, and always do that mono toggle check. Number 4. Saturating without gain staging. If you drive everything and never level match, you end up with constant fuzz and no punch. Drive with intention, then match the output. Number 5. No arrangement movement. A static Reese for 64 bars feels like a loop, not a record. Automate filter, movement, drive, width, and even rhythm density. Now a few pro options if you want it darker or heavier, without losing control. One powerful workflow is resampling. When your Reese is behaving, freeze and flatten it, or resample 8 to 16 bars to audio. Pick the best 2 to 4 moments and consolidate them. Now you've printed tone like hardware. It stops you from endlessly tweaking, and it gives you consistent bass hits you can arrange with confidence. If you want extra grit, try a tiny bit of redux on the resampled audio, then filter it back down. Or add frequency shifter after saturation, with a very small amount, like plus or minus 5 to 20 Hz, mixed low, and automate it slowly. That gives you motion that isn't just a tune. If you want a jungle-style edge, experiment with a hint of FM in operator or wave-eatable, then low-pass it back down so it stays in that classic zone. And if you want more aggression without mud, make a dark air layer, duplicate the Reese, high-pass it at 1 to 2K, distort it more, and keep it really low in level. This audio version is shortened for playback.